I'm glad to see everyone today. It has been a complicated and stressful week. But I want to talk to you for just a second about something that happened on Thursday that maybe sets a little bit of a stage for what we're going to talk about today. I had a chance to go to the doctor. I do that every once in a while. Sometimes it's bad stuff and sometimes it's just routine. This one was routine. But I was sitting there waiting for my turn, and I recognized a familiar face walking in the door, but coming in out of the light, he didn't recognize me because it was a little dark in the waiting room. It was Bob Cochran. Some of you know Bob Cochran. He was pastor here for something in excess of 20 years, I think. He's retired and he's now back in our church and attending the first hour for this class. And just for the record, next week I think is going to be Bob Cochran Day. They're going to honor him and celebrate his work and life among us in a very special way next week. So those of you who know him, you might want to make sure you're here. In any event, he was there to get a B12 shot. 3 weeks or so ago, you will remember, those of you who were here, that I had the experience of moving my dad and more recently my mom into a retirement home. My dad is struggling a bit with memory issues, and so my mother was very specific. All of his medicine, she said, is in a Cool Whip container on the breakfast room table. That's where you keep your medicines, right? And a piece of cardboard torn out of a cereal box had everything written on it for the schedule of medicines that he was supposed to take. And she was very important to her that Cool Whip container and all the information and medicines that it contained get to the retirement home. And I got it all there. That was my responsibility. And the next day I was back visiting my mom, who was at that time in the hospital, and she said, "I had forgotten something. Once a month, your dad's supposed to have a vitamin B12 shot, and I give him that shot, and it's due for him to have another one, and that stuff's in the refrigerator, and it's over here. It wasn't in the Cool Whip container. You got to get that down there, too." So I took all that down. Well, I'm sitting there eavesdropping on this, and Bob leans across the counter and tells the people inside the little room, "I'm here to get a vitamin B12 shot." And I thought, okay, now that's interesting. Now, why would people go to the doctor's office or have the medicine in their home and get a B12 shot? What's the function? What's the purpose?
Does it help his memory?
No.
Makes
the body work better. General's all I need. I have an aunt who once a month gets a gamma globulin shot. Do we have any nurses in here who knows what a gamma globulin shot does? That's a very specific one. What does that do? It boosts the immune system. Okay? Stick with me on this one. Midweek in the newspaper, there was an article about sewer rats. Did you read that article? I'm putting that over there because I don't know what to do with this. I'm going to do some stuff over here. We're going to be okay on that. But I'm leaving that over there because I think there's a connection. I'm just not sure I know how to make it. The study that they had done was they studied the immune system of sewer rats. And they compared that to the immune system of lab rats, rats that were prepared for use in laboratories but hadn't been used yet. They had been raised in captivity, raised in an environment that would keep them healthy. Which one had the stronger immune system? Why? Well, don't go there. That's the part I don't know where to go. But this article talked about the difference in the ability of the immune system to fight off things. What's the immune system supposed to do? Fight off things. I could say thingies and some of you would have a problem. Okay? My yellow thing fell off 3 times and I didn't get it back on this morning. It fights things off, right? Now, one of those people I talked about a few moments ago is Stephanie Copeland. And I realized this week that I hadn't seen her parents for a little while. Gail was in church this morning, so I've talked to her now, but as of midweek, I hadn't. And I had been thinking about them, and I believe it's coincidence, but you know, some of you, and I believe maybe it was a little more than that. There's a a link that I had put in my bookmark. You guys have computers, you know what bookmarks are. I put a link to Stephanie's webpage for her progress as she's coming back from the accident that she had. But it's in a section of my bookmarks I don't usually go to, and I happened to come across it this week, and I went there and learned that over maybe 2 months or 3 months this spring, ending I think maybe late April or early May, she's been out in California. And this isn't the stem cell stuff that we heard talked about, that, you know, maybe they can regenerate some things. This is simply taking what she has and where she is. And there's a group out there that says, we work on making people learn how to walk that the world thinks can't walk. Okay? And I read her journal of what she had gone through. And in the middle of that journal, I find out where she went was a place that either is in El Cajon, California, or one of the next cities over. That struck a little bell. Because El Cajon, California, is where David Jeremiah has church. Now, earlier that day, I had been driving someplace in my radio, and I had flipped the dial and come across David Jeremiah talking about something, who is, by the way, one of the few people who is evangelist on radio that I think is just absolutely worth listening to every chance you have to do so. And he was talking about something, and I said, okay, this says maybe I need to follow that up. So I went over to Jeremiah's website looking to catch what I had heard, because he was talking about some things having to do with Father's Day. And I thought, well, you know, maybe I can do that, put that in. But as I got in there, I got distracted off into another part of his website, and I came across something where he talks about immune systems. And I'm going to talk about some things he talked about today and next week. So if you want to see the original, I'll tell you where the website was. You can go read it. But I want to adapt some things, because here's what he says. We have a physical immune system, and we also have a spiritual immune system. And there's parallels between the two. And that's what I want to share with you this morning. So here's my first question. What does your physical immune system need in order to function well? What is it that if it doesn't have it, it is not going to function well?
Gamma-goblin, good choice. I'll keep that on the screen.
Exposed.
Louder?
Exposure to what it needs to fight off. I mean, you actually have to have exposure to the bad stuff in order to fight off that stuff.
Yeah, but presuming that those things are in place, what does it need? You know, you got the stuff, but it's still not, your immune system can still be suppressed or strengthened or whatever.
You gotta
have food. What else you gotta have?
It's gotta be good food. Yeah,
proper
good nutrition.
Proper food, proper rest. Proper food. Proper food. Proper food. Proper food. Proper food. Proper food. What else you need?
Water. You need water.
I'm trying to keep them in the order in which we're going to talk about them.
What else do you need?
Exercise.
Now the fifth one, nobody in the first hour got, except Bob Cochran, who was sitting about where you guys are sitting. Bob got the fifth one. It's not big fun. It's not Gamma Goblin. What's the last thing you need?
Laughter.
Close. Really, really close.
Joy.
Really, really close.
Peace. And tranquility. He called it peace of mind.
Now you can call it the absence of stress, you can call it the presence of joy. Joy and laughter, I think I would see as symptoms of this as opposed to this itself. That I won't go there. We got to move through. But here's the question. This, and maybe you want to add another one or two, but Jeremiah didn't, so I'm not going to today. These are the things that your physical immune system, if you don't have proper food, whoever made me put proper in front of that, proper food, proper water, proper exercise, proper One of the things that they told me in the doctor's office, and it's an amazing thing. They told me this before. They said, you know, a good part of your problem is that you're not getting the right kind of exercise, and you're not getting the right kind of rest, and you're not eating the right kind of diet. And I said, really? I didn't know that. No, I didn't say that because I didn't know that. If you don't have these things right, you're going to compromise, or at least risk compromising your immune system. If you got these things right, you're much more likely to be able to fight things off. Now, it's the sewer rat stuff that I don't know where to put on here, because that's the exposure part. Those of you who are talking about exposure, that's what that brings in. So I think there's another little issue out there somewhere for us to look at someday, sometime, somehow, but not today. Let's move to what the Bible says about what your spiritual immune system needs. That's what I propose to do. I've got more scripture references than we're going to have time to go to, so I'm going to cut these down a little bit. But I want to go very quickly to two things having to do with food. The first one of these is in Deuteronomy chapter 8. The first of these is in Deuteronomy chapter 8. I can't give you too long to find it, or we're going to run out of time to do these things. Yes, Joe.
Before you start, I thought it's interesting to add David Jeremiah is battling lymphoma or multiple myeloma, one of those cancers.
I don't know the specific cancer. He has had it in the past. My impression from what I hear on the radio is that he is in remission from that and that it has not come back, but unless there's something newer that you know. Yeah. You will recognize at the end of this, I'm going to quote a little bit of what he said in his website. You will recognize those of you who know something about him, you will recognize a characteristic phrase which he used very much at that time 5 or 6 years ago when he had cancer. Yeah, that's you'll recognize the phrase. Okay, Deuteronomy chapter 8. I want you to read with me verse 3. My translation said, yes, he humbled you by letting you go hungry and then feeding you with manna, a food previously unknown to you and your ancestors. Let me stop before I go any further. Have I told you lately what the word manna actually means?
What is it?
It means, what is this stuff? I don't know if you know that. The Hebrew word manna, I'm told, means, what is this stuff? Which reminded me of the way a particular meat sauce is supposed to have gotten its name. Apparently a king was served this particular meat sauce, and he tried it, and he said, what's this here sauce? Thank you. He humbled you by letting you go hungry and then feeding you with manna, a food previously unknown to you and your ancestors. He did this to teach you that people need more than bread for their lives. Real life comes by feeding on every word of the Lord. Jesus quoted that in Matthew 4, chapter 4. Satan had tempted him. You're hungry, why don't you tell these stones to turn into bread? And Jesus quoted that verse for them. Now, where I want to take you for a moment is John 4. There's a little story in John chapter 4. So join me there if you will. Let me give you the setting. John chapter 4, if you read the first couple of verses, when Jesus heard that the Pharisees had found out that he was making and baptizing more disciples than John. Well, actually, it wasn't Jesus who was doing this. It was his disciples who were baptizing. I'm still quoting scripture. He left Judea and went back to Galilee. Now, that's at the end of verse 4. What does it say? He had to pass through Samaria. Do you see that? When typical Jewish people of that day tried to go from the region around Jerusalem, that was Judea, to the region around the Sea of Galilee, that was Galilee. How did they go? Let me turn around and do it like this. How did the typical Jewish people go? They crossed the Jordan River, went up through an area called the Decapolis, I think, which is named for 10 cities, and then came back across the Jordan into there. Why didn't they just go straight up? Because Samaria was in the way, and they didn't like Samaritans, and so they would go out of their way to avoid going through Samaria. What did it just say about Jesus? He had to go through or pass through Samaria. Who'd he meet on that trip? He met the woman that we now know as the woman at the well. And so much of this chapter is given over to the conversation Jesus had with the woman at the well. Where I want you to go is to the end of this. Now, most of you are familiar with verse 28 and the verses that follow. The woman put down her water jar, hurried back to town to tell the people, "Come see a man who told me everything I've ever done." And all the people come running out of the town to see Jesus. What you miss is verse 27. At this point, his disciples returned. They had been someplace else. And were surprised to find him speaking to a woman. Though none of them asked, "What do you want from her?" or "What are you talking to her about?" So I want to put the focus for a moment on the disciples. Where had they been? Answer, don't know. But the likelihood is that they were off getting food. Because if you now skip down to verse 31, meanwhile, this woman has run off to get them. The people of the town are streaming back. You can see them coming. The well is apparently some distance from the town. Meanwhile, the disciples, this is verse 31, John 4, were urging him, "Rabbi, do have something to eat." But Jesus said, what? I have food to eat that you do not know about. So the disciples said to one another, "Somebody bring him food?" And Jesus said, verse 34, "My food is to do the will of the one who sent me." Another translation, "My nourishment comes from doing the will of God who sent me and from finishing his work." Now, let me tell you what I think that means. Somehow, there was an appointment that Jesus had with that woman at the well. I don't think she knew she had the appointment. I think Jesus did. Why did he have to go through Samaria? Because he had to see her. Why did he have to see her that day? Because she was ready. God had been at work and it was time for the work to be finished. That's what I hear those words as saying. And Jesus says, "That's my food. That's the spiritual nourishment." For what? For what we could this morning call the spiritual immune system. Now look at Deuteronomy and look at John. The food we need is God's Word and God's work. We don't have that food, our spiritual immune system is going to be compromised. We need God's Word, and we need to join God in His work. Henry Blackaby put that exceptionally well. You want to do God's will, go look at where God is working, go join Him there, you're going to be doing God's will. Now, we're still in John 4, right? Back up, because I want you to take a look. What was the subject of this conversation with this woman? Water. "I'm thirsty, would you give me a drink?" And she says, "Don't you have your own wells, you Jewish person?" Not quite, but it's pretty close to that. What she says is, "You're a Jew. How come you're talking to me at all? Much less asking me for water." Jews don't associate with Samaritans, John comments. Jesus replied, I'm looking at verse 10. Are you looking at verse 10 with me? "If you only knew what God is offering and who it is that is saying to you, quote, 'Give me something to drink,' end of quote, you would have been the one to ask and he would have given you living water." Verse 13, "Whoever drinks this water will be thirsty again." He's pointing to the well at that point, I'm sure. "But no one who drinks the water that I will give him will ever be thirsty again. The water I give him will become in him a spring of water welling up for eternal life." Turn to John chapter 7. I'm rushing a little bit because I want to make sure you get all of this in one setting. John chapter 7. I want you to turn to verse 37. The setting is in the verse. So I'm going to read part of the verse and then I'm going to stop and I'm going to make sure you see what's being said. There's a festival going on. They're in Jerusalem. On the last day, the great day of the festival, Jesus stood and shouted in a loud voice. If you've got a festival going on and this is the biggest day of the festival, what's the city going to look like?
Crowded.
Lots of activity. And if somebody suddenly stands up and shouts, what's going to happen? everybody nearby is going to turn and find out what you're going to say. So what does Jesus say? I'm going to read a different translation from my own this time. If you're thirsty, come to me. If you believe in me, come and drink. There's two ways to translate the next little bit. I'm choosing this way. For the scriptures declare that rivers of living water will flow from the hearts of those who believe in me. And then there's a parenthetical statement in verse 39 that helps you understand what he just said. When he said, quote, living water, unquote, he was speaking of what? The Spirit, who would be given to everyone believing in him. But the Spirit had not yet been given because Jesus had not yet entered his glory. Remember when he said, I have to go so the Spirit can come? What's the food we need? God's Word and God's work. What's the water we need for the spiritual immune system to be strong? We need the presence of the Holy Spirit. Let me try to make this as clear as I possibly can. Where does the water in your body go? Starts with E. Everywhere. How much water you got in your body? 5 quarts in your blood. 80 quarts everywhere else. Now, I probably got a little more than you do. Bruce was in the first hour. He's got a little more than you do. We're well taken care of where water is concerned. Where is that water? It's everywhere. And let me tell you something. People take advantage of that. There's a device that we have at the university. I managed to get a research grant a little while back. Got $500,000. We bought two of these things. They're called nuclear magnetic resonance instruments. And they are the coolest thing you'd ever want to see. They will show you a signal. They will show you a signal from every different kind of atom in a sample that you've got. If you've got a molecule in there, then all the different atoms in that molecule, it's potentially possible to see a signal from each individual atom. Or if there's a group of atoms that all behave the same, you'll see one signal from that group of atoms. Right? Now, this thing that I use, if you took the refill of my pen, that's about the sample size. You got this little cube about that big around, and it's filled up about an inch, and that's what you drop in there. And it's the little viewing device is about this big. But when these things first began to be developed, people said, you know, if you made them just a little bit bigger, you could get more sample in there. And they kept going down that road until they got it big enough that they could drop a live rat down in there. Now, we're not back to sewer rats, but we are back to this. You could drop chicken eggs in there. And you could look at these things. What you could do is look at what was in the chicken egg or look at what was in the rat. We've got them now where they're big enough you can put a horse in these things. Okay? You can put a horse in these things. I've been in one. When they first were developed for this kind of purpose to be used on human beings, they put them in the hospitals and across the door they wrote nuclear magnetic resonance. And people stopped and wouldn't go in. Why? They saw nuclear. This has nothing to do with radioactivity. It's just normal atoms doing their thing. And the probe that you use is about the same radio frequency that the FM stations come on here in Richmond. 102.1, right? That's 102 megahertz. That's what we use to probe the signal. Now we've got 300 and 500 megahertz, so we can really make these little things dance. But the idea is there's no nuclear in there. And so they got smart. They took the word nuclear away. They moved magnetic resonance over, and they put a new word at the end. What was that? MRI. The word is imaging. It's the same thing. It's just one of these things big enough to slide you into. How many of you have had MRI? I have a brain. I have seen pictures of it. It's there. They looked at mine one time. I don't know what they looked on you. Maybe your heart, maybe your brain, maybe your shoulder. I don't know. But it's a wonderful device if you need it. Now, here's how it works. It works by looking at water. They look from this way and radiate from this way. So, you know, radiation comes in, signals are generated, they look this way, so you're not looking at the radiation came in, you're looking at other kinds of signals. And so you can pinpoint specific places in three dimensions. And so you look at a whole bunch of points by moving this and moving this, and then you move a little bit and you do it again, you move a little bit, and what you're getting is cross sections all the way through your body. And they're looking at the water. There's a signal for water But the signals for water differ if it's in bone, or if it's in blood, or if it's in blood vessels, or if it's in muscle, or if it's in other kinds of things. And so they pick up those differences, and then they just color code. And so, you know, you look in there, and you can see your heart, you can see your spleen. I can see my amygdala. Right? Why did they use water? Because it gives good signals, because it's everywhere. It's everywhere. Where's the Spirit need to be in your life?
Everywhere.
We got 5 minutes for three more. Let's see how we can do. Immune systems need exercise. Why? Well, let me tell you, it may not be for the reason you think. Every reason that you would think, yes, all of those reasons, but there's a bigger one. What is it in the body that allows the immune system to get all the places where things might come in? Blood is obvious, right? What's the other big circulatory system that carries all the stuff that the immune system has? Not the nerves. They control it, but they're not where it is. It's the lymph system, the lymphatic system. How does the blood circulate? Why does the blood circulate? The heart pumps it. How does the lymph system get its fluids to move around? Ain't no pump. How does the lymph system get stuff to move around? I learned something this week. I looked this stuff up. Muscular contraction, i.e. exercise. Now, in addition to that, exercise does all kinds of other things for you as well. The hormonal system adjusts itself as that goes. But the big one is that a lot of the white blood cells are actually in the lymph system, and if the lymph system isn't moving stuff around properly, your immune system won't be functioning the way it needs to. Okay. Now, there's a whole bunch of things that we can go to. Let me go to just one. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. I'm going to skip a little bit. Start with me at verse 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. For you are all children of the light and of the day. We do not belong to darkness and light and night. So be on your guard, not asleep like the others. Stay alert and be sober. Night is the time for sleep and the time when people get drunk. But let us who live in the light think clearly, protected by the body armor of faith and love, and wearing as our helmet the confidence of our salvation. Verse 11. So, encourage each other and build each other up, just as you're already doing. Verse 14. Brothers and sisters, we urge you to warn those who are lazy, encourage those who are timid, take care of those who are weak, be patient with everybody. See that no one pays back evil for evil, but always try to do good to each other and to everyone else. Always be joyful. Keep on praying. No matter what happens, always be thankful, for this is God's will for you who belong to Christ Jesus. Don't stifle the Holy Spirit. Don't scoff at prophecies. Test everything that's said. Hold on to what's good. Keep away from every kind of evil. May the God of peace make you holy in every way, and may your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless until that day when the Lord Jesus Christ comes again. God who calls you is faithful. He will do this. The exercise we have is service. There's stuff to do. We need God's word and work as our food. We need God's spirit as the equivalent of water for our spiritual immune systems. And we need exercise. We need things to do. We need rest. Let me take you to the one that surprised me. I found a verse I'd never seen before. A lot of you have seen Jeremiah chapter 31, and you know that Jeremiah chapter 31 ends with verse 31 and some things that follow where the new covenant is talked about. And so that's what most people look at when they look at Jeremiah 31. But Jeremiah took me to Jeremiah. Did you get that joke? Jeremiah took me to Jeremiah, and I saw a few more things. And I saw a verse I'd never seen before. Verse 1. Jeremiah 31. In that day, the Lord says, I will be the God of all the families of Israel, and they will be my people. I will care for the survivors as they travel through the wilderness. I will again come to give rest to the people of Israel. Long ago, the Lord said to Israel, I have loved you, my people, with an everlasting love. With unfailing love, I have drawn you to myself. Verse 9. Tears of joy will stream down their faces, and I will lead them home with great care. They will walk beside quiet streams and not stumble. Verse 25. For I have given rest to the weary and joy to the sorrowing. Now, would you read verse 26 and tell me if it surprises you? All of a sudden, I woke up and I realized my sleep had been sweet. You want rest. There's things you can do to make it better, but God's the one who can really give you rest. We got one to go. Peace of mind. Psalm 32 is the best place to go. There's probably 1,000 others, but Psalm 32 is the best one. Join me there if you will. Again, I'm going to use a different translation from what I usually use. Follow along with me. Psalm 32, I'm starting in verse 1. Oh, what joy for those whose rebellion is forgiven, whose sin is put out of sight. Yes, what joy for those whose record the Lord has cleared of sin, whose lives are lived in complete honesty. Verse 3. When I refused to confess my sin, I was weak and miserable, and I groaned all the day long. Day and night, your hand of discipline was heavy on me. My strength evaporated like water in the summer heat. Finally, I confessed all my sins to you and stopped trying to hide them. And I said to myself, I will confess my rebellion to the Lord. The next sentence in my translation ends with an exclamation point. And you forgave me. All my guilt is gone. Did you hear the pastor talk about guilt this morning? Shame is good, I heard him say, because it drives you to repentance. Guilt is a piece of baggage you don't need to carry. Take that whole sermon this morning and put it right there. When you live a healthy lifestyle, you don't live in fear of germs. Instead, you rely on consistent investments in your physical immune system to defend yourself against sickness. Let me quote Jeremiah now, David Jeremiah. When you make equally consistent investments in your spiritual immune system, you won't live in fear of what's around every bend in life's road. An apple a day doesn't guarantee the doctor will stay away, but it's a good start. Likewise, healthy portions of the Word and God's work, the Spirit, service, spiritual rest, and a pure heart don't guarantee that troubles will stay away, but it does guarantee that when troubles come, they don't overcome you. You in time overcome them. Healthy portions of the Word, the Spirit, service, spiritual rest, and a pure heart. Keep your spiritual immune system strong. The next time we're together, which God willing will be next week, I'm going to talk about 10 very specific things, areas of spiritual discipline that you can work on to make all this happen. It's the second thing I'm stealing from David Jeremiah. Let's have a word of prayer. I'm sorry. I can't do it this morning. I'd rather leave that one for another day. Can you let me leave that one for another day? Yeah, let me leave that one for another day. Our Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the presence of your Spirit. We thank you for the service work that you offer us opportunity to do. And we thank you for rest that only you can give. And we thank you for forgiveness that lets us live life free of guilt, but free to work and serve you. All these things we pray in your son's name.
Amen.